Instrumentalband.bandcamp.com.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Revolution Hall, presenting an evening with former Fairport Convention member Richard Thompson, Thursday, November 12th. Richard Thompson is touring in support of his recent album, Still, produced by Wilco's Jeff Tweedy. Tickets and information for Richard Thompson on November 12th are available at revolutionhallpdx.com. And coming up next on KBOO, we've got Joseph Galavan hosting Art Focus. Today he interviews Sarah Krajewski and Betsy Conop of the Portland Art Museum about Paige Powell, The Ride, and Kenny Scharf, Cosmic Cavern. Let's listen to a couple short announcements before we get to Art Focus. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month is the amazing Nina Simone, showing Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. Nina Simone was one of America's true musical geniuses. With her unique signature mix of layering folk, gospel, classical, pop, and African music, along with a revolutionary vision of Black freedom, pride, and defiance. Again, that's the amazing and revolutionary Miss Nina Simone, showing as part of the We Real Cool film series on Thursday, November 19th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of MAMI, an art exhibit at Yale Union in Portland. MAMI is a group show that considers the mystery and chaos of motherhood, and in reaction to the sentimentality and laments the culturally constructed binary of, quote, family versus career, while acknowledging the persistence of that obstacle in the lives of artists. Again, that's MAMI, showing Thursday through Sunday, 3 to 6 p.m. until December 20th at Yale Union, located at 800 Southeast 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Galavan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Sarah Krajewski, the curator of modern and contemporary art at the Portland Art Museum, and Betsy Conop, the archive manager for Paige Powell. They're here talking about The Ride, Paige Powell, The Ride, and Kenny Scharf, Cosmic Cavern, which is at Portland Art Museum through February 21st, 2016. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here to talk about these exciting shows.
So you go into the modern wing, the third floor, and there is a big room with a three-channel video display with three benches, and there's a small kind of, it's like a cube with one side missing, and it's plastered with photos. So who took the photos and who's in them and who is Paige Powell?
Sure.
For all you recent arrivals.
Yeah, that you're describing the two major parts to The Ride, Paige Powell's exhibition. The three-channel video installation, what you're seeing is a photograph of Jean-Michel Basquiat sitting in a limo looking at a television set. And that's the backdrop for each of the three videos. And inset into the television set are moving images, three short films that Paige Powell created about her, I guess, starring her social circle in New York in the 1980s. And it features Andy Warhol in one video, Keith Haring in another. And actually, the third features all of those artists, Haring, Warhol, and Kenny Scharf, who's, we'll talk about him in a little bit. But Paige Powell, would you like to talk about Paige Powell?
Sure. Who she is? Sure, I can fill everyone in.
So this is Betsy.
Yeah, this is Betsy. Paige Powell is a fifth generation Oregonian. In 1980, she left Oregon to go to New York City, and she was hired by Interview Magazine to sell ads. And that was her sort of entry into that social world. But it wasn't, she didn't just move in that social world. She also explored other areas of New York, the club scene, drag culture, Harlem, lots of the smaller underground art clubs. And she always had a bag of cameras with her. It was sort of like social media before iPhones. She would lug around a canvas bag, often filled with two or three cameras in it. She started doing photojournalist work for a magazine in Japan called Brutus. And when Andy Warhol realized that she was doing that, he said, Paige, you should be doing this work for Interview too. So she started doing some photojournalist work for Interview on top of her ad sales work.
What was the point, to take pictures of people partying?
Yeah, I think from speaking to people that Paige has known for a while, she always had a camera in hand. And I think when you look at some of the work that's in the exhibition, you see a lot of photographs of other people holding cameras. So I think in that realm, that was part of the culture.
And where you'll see a lot of those images is in the second part to the installation, which is called Beulah Land. It's an expanded recreation of an installation that Paige did in a club called Beulah Land in New York, where she plastered the walls, ceiling, and floors of a small room with hundreds of photographs that she'd taken on her travels through these different circles in New York, with a little bit of self-promotion added to it. Since she was selling ads for Interview at the time, she put up on the wall with letters, I'm Paige Powell, I sell ads for Interview, please call me, with the telephone number. And at the museum, the installation is a little bit different. It wasn't faithful recreation of that original piece. There are many, many photographs taken from the archive from that particular era, but Paige has continued to create photographs and document her community and her world, and the installation at the museum brings us up to date. So you'll see images in there of more art figures like the gallery owner Jeffrey Deitch. You'll see Thomas Lauderdale of Pink Martini and a number of other recognizable characters.
Mm. Yeah. And Paige Powell's archive is kept at Thomas Lauderdale's loft in downtown. If you read the New York Times slideshow about this show, you would think, oh, she found 30,000 photos under her bed. Now, what's the truth about this archive?
When Paige left New York in 1984, she had a number of contact sheets and negatives, as well as prints, that she put in boxes and took them with her back to Oregon. And those boxes were left unopened until the 2000s, when Thomas Lauderdale convinced her to open the boxes. And in, I believe it was 2012, Lauderdale reached out to Blair Saxon Hill of Monograph Bookworks to help Paige with the archiving process. Blair came in and sat down with Paige and Thomas and started the process of matching 30,000 images on negatives to the original contact sheets. And that process is still going on. I would say we're about 70% of the way through digitizing the contact sheets. And as things like the RIDE exhibition or requests for images from publications come up, we are digitizing individual images, but we still have quite a bit of work to do. But the number of images that are in the exhibition are just a hair. Mm-hmm.
It's really been a nice opportunity for the museum to step in at this point with the archivists and with Paige, because it represents an opportunity for the museum to develop with an artist an installation out of all of this material, which is something that Paige was really interested in doing and inserting her work into a museum context. So it certainly can be seen to have this value as a documentary project, but a lot of the images and a lot of the early camcorder recordings that she was making really do stand up as artworks in and of themselves. So seeing them in the context of the museum helps situate Paige within an art historical, very recent art historical lineage, which is something we tried to do with supplementary exhibitions like Cosmic Cavern by Kenny Scharf, and an installation of paintings and prints and photographs by the other artists featured in Paige's work, Jean-Michel Basquiat, Keith Haring, again, Kenny Scharf, and Andy Warhol.
Mm-hmm. The people in the pictures, so you've got Andy Warhol kind of doing his thing, standing around in his wig. Betsy, you said he looks different from how you normally see him.
Yeah, Paige is an incredibly warm and generous person, and people are incredibly comfortable with her. She's very present. And my experience of seeing images of Andy Warhol before seeing Paige's work was seeing him very rigid, very stiff, very emotional.
He presented himself in a very particular way to the camera. I think of it as a sculpture.
Yeah.
He looks very impassive and very composed without letting anybody see anything internal.
In Paige's work, he seems much more like a whole person, an individual. In some images, he's relaxed. In others, he's smiling. There are actually two still photographs of Andy Warhol and Jean-Michel Basquiat in the Ride installation. When you first walk in the room, they welcome you into the space. And the image that's on the left when you walk in is one of Andy Warhol smiling with his arm around Jean-Michel Basquiat, who is also looking at Andy Warhol. And seeing artists in that way, both connecting with one another and connecting with Paige behind the camera, it's changed the way that I've thought about those artists as individuals and made me more curious about their work.
I think that is an interesting element that's coming out of this exhibition for me as well, because many people think, Warhol was always this very present figure and that he might have been the ringleader of this entire group. But what I've been learning is that Paige was really an important link between the younger artists and Warhol. And there's a photograph in the exhibition where Warhol is kind of seen in the wings a little bit behind Basquiat and kind of looking at him in a particular way. And the focus, Basquiat's in the foreground, but he's a little bit out of focus, and Warhol in the background became Paige's focus, as I think maybe there was something about his expression that caught her eye as he's looking at this younger figure who really, I think, added some life or just a new direction for Warhol at that point in his career, as he was a much more established figure.
Of the genres of photo that you see on the wall, I mean, how many of them are just candids, what we call candids? And what are the other genres? What do you see her doing?
In the Beulah Land exhibition, I think there's quite a lot of candid photographs, and I think that really serves the mood of the space, that it feels immersive, it feels kind of loose. During the opening, I saw people dancing in the space or just really becoming absorbed in the photographs. There happens to be a soundtrack provided by David LaChapelle, who's also a close friend of Paige's, so gets you in the mood of the 80s with the music of the time. Portraits are certainly another thing that's very strong within that installation. You see a number of artists who were part of that circle of artists in New York, everyone from David Hockney to Francesco Clementi to all of those figures that we've already been talking about. That impulse to I don't know. I can't say if that was what Paige had in mind at the time, but just to capture and document all of these, all of the life of that community, Madonna, other musicians, drag artists like Lipsinka, was really communicates this vibrancy of that moment.
You do get the feeling, which is not a new one, that artists all visit each other and they party together and they take pictures of each other, and you know, they kind of, I guess it's a kind of pilgrimage to each other's work and personality. But when you look through 30,000 photos, there's got to be a lot of dross in there. I mean, it's stuff you just cannot show. So was she shooting like motorized film, like 12 shots a second kind of thing? Or
I think Paige was pretty selective in terms of her subject and how she was framing. It's interesting when I look at the work, I notice that there's a lot of play in how she photographs. There are moments where it's very spontaneous, but she is, it's not a straight photograph of a playful moment. It's a playful photograph of what could be a dull moment, you know, sort of like a business dinner at an upscale restaurant between Andy Warhol and a potential ad sales client or celebrity.
Oh, I see. It's the business of the magazine as well.
Part of that, yeah. Yeah, she is. Yeah, interior shots of restaurants, business meetings. I think there are pictures from, I think she went to the Grammys one year and took photographs. And I think she's interested in capturing a sense of the different personalities and the people and in a celebratory and playful way. But then I think she also is interested, there are other photographs that don't necessarily involve people that are just spectacle. Like one example, which you'll see photographs of in the piece that is a throwback to the Beulahland exhibition, of all of these shops with masking tape on the windows, the shop windows, and the streets are completely deserted. And that was taken just before a hurricane was supposed to hit New York City. And so she went out onto the street and snapped photographs of that. And then there are other shots of construction work being done in New York where, again, the streets are deserted and then they're ripped up and you see these big pieces of machinery. I think when you're looking at a mass of the photographs on contact sheets, it doesn't look incredible, but then the more individual photographs that you look at and sink into, you realize that each individual photograph is interesting because of her style, the tension between people, but not in a way that is necessarily spectacle, but more personal, and then spectacle that's devoid of people. She's very careful about where she stands in place to people. Like, you notice that she's rarely taking shots that are head on or direct shots of people. They're often to the left or to the right, just a hair, just enough to keep it interesting.
Right. So a viewer comes into the Portland Art Museum and goes into this room. The pictures are actually on the floor under plastic, right? And they're on the ceiling. Maybe they look and the first thing they do for 10 minutes is just play spot the celebrity. You know, Matt Damon's in there. For the young people have recognized some of the people in the pictures, you told me, Betsy.
Yeah.
So after you've just done that, what else do you look, what else would someone look for? Are you saying composition?
I mean, I think you could go there. I mean, for me, one of the experiences I've had with people that I know is just having a closer sense or a more palpable sense of what New York must have been like for Paige at that time. I think it's very hard to connect with New York if you haven't lived there, and it can sometimes be hard to connect in a similar way to the lives of artists, especially contemporary artists. And I, at least for me, one of the hopes for the exhibition is that once people have, or in the process, I think, of spotting celebrities, is feeling closer or having a closer and more lively understanding of what that time must have been like.
And something that I've been taking away from it too is that, you know, once you get past that initial kind of awe of who is who, are pictures of artists in their studio and work in process. And as an art historian and a curator, I find that really fascinating to see, you know, a painting that there's literally a couple of paintings that are on view downstairs at the museum that are pictured in Beulah Land. And you see them in the studio. You see them in progress with the artist there, Basquiat, there with Busted Atlas, or the Valentine Basquiat that's on view with a Kenny Scharf TV. And, you know, just seeing these works in different contexts and different states of readiness, I find that really interesting too, because that speaks to artistic process. It speaks to the kind of intimacy that Paige had with some of these figures, that they were allowed into the studio, allowed to document things that maybe weren't ready, or that that had a different meaning for the artists, that were really fresh and raw. And I think that those are really special gems hidden amidst all of these, you know, the famous stars that shine around them.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Sarah Krajewski, the curator of modern and contemporary art at the Portland Art Museum, and Betsy Connop, archive manager for Paige Powell. They're talking about Paige Powell, The Ride, and Kenny Scharf, Cosmic Cavern, which are on now through February 21st, 2016 at the Portland Art Museum. So Kenny Scharf, people probably know his totem poles in the Pearl on the streetcar line. Like, how did they get there?
Yeah.
And then he was here, like, last week, paint bombing cars. You know, he paints people's cars, mm-hmm. graffiti style, and they can just drive around in them. There's no transaction involved.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done this room, which is like a plywood room. You go in, and it's very day glow. Lots of kind of plastic junk painted, lots of foam, so there's a lot of textures. And there's a sun lounger and a couple of bean bags, and then like 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cavern.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Well, that came about through Paige. Again, Kenny Scharf was part of this community in New York, and they've known each other very well since that time. And Paige proposed to us at the museum that she would love to see the Cosmic Cavern as a companion piece to The Ride. And we contacted the artist, and we were able to make it, to realize the project with Paige's help.
So he did it in New York years ago in his closet.
Exactly.
And now
so
this
that's
is like another version.
Yes. So back in the early 80s, Kenny was sharing a loft apartment with Keith Haring, and they would throw parties in the space and created the first Cosmic Cavern. It was the Cosmic Closet then, actually, because it was in a closet. And you know, the vibe of the space was very much influenced by the kinds of places that they would go and dance, and bright day glow colors, black light, just a very trippy, psychedelic space. And since that time, he's created the cosmic closet became the Cosmic Cavern, as it was something that could become portable and be installed in different spaces. He's created the versions in RVs and in suitcases. It's very portable. The work, it kind of suggests its own construction. When you go to the museum, you'll see that it's a bunch of flats that create the room that's then decorated inside mm-hmm. with all of the material.
Oh, so he's recycling it. He's taking it apart and,
exactly.
and reusing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the objects are like plastic bottles, kids' toys, and then just random plastic stuff, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't know what they are, just shapes. And it's kind of like being at Scrap, you know, the local place here where you go and get like industrial cast-offs.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's painted brightly.
Mm-hmm.
What's the idea? Like, you go and lie down, and it's great for taking pictures of yourself.
Yeah, it has become a bit of a selfie magnet.
Amazing backdrop.
Yeah. Kenny works in a mode he calls pop surrealism. So his paintings and his graffiti feature these characters who are little bit of a hybrid between different Hanna-Barbera characters. He references the Jetsons and Flintstones, and always painted in bright colors, just very dynamic within the canvases or in the graffiti. If you check out some of the pictures of the car bombs, you know, these characters still exist and populate his work from the 80s when he began his career till now. So that sense of popular culture and its lasting elements, like these kinds of characters or all of these plastic dolls and other things that spin off of our habits of consumption, I guess, they all have their place within the cavern. Another thing that he has done, and you can see this with the example of the TV that's also on view, is a process that he calls van chroming, and that's embellishing everyday appliances.
Vandalism?
There's a little bit of that. I think it's that notion of taking little bits and pieces of everyday detritus from the domestic environment and animating these appliances, like a television set, like a vacuum cleaner or a blender, and creating these characters that might liven up your living space. So there's definitely some of that going on within the Cosmic Cavern. And if you look closely, you can see there's a kind of old computer monitor and keyboard that's been van chromed or a different transformed household materials in there as well.
Has there been any discussion about how the things you do when you're young, the sort of throwaway things you do very spontaneously, how they persist and become hallowed and end up in museums? Like, do they have a different attitude to it than, say, an art painter 100 years ago might have had? Things that they just sort of tossed off, took a bunch of pictures, now they're kind of sacred, you know. What's their attitude to that?
Yeah, I think what is really fascinating about the Cosmic Cavern is that it's a little bit about the space that's been created, but it's a lot about what goes on in the space. So we had a public opening recently, and seeing a lot of people in that space having an experience, whether it's taking a selfie or dancing to that 80s soundtrack again that's in there, that really complete the work. And it is a little bit funny, I have to admit, to come into the space by yourself and you're there. Yeah. And, you know, what do you do? There's not a social component to it, which I think is a really, it's definitely part of that work. And it's a little bit of a challenge for us at the museum, I think, to how do we convey that that was an important aspect to these works when they first were made. I don't know if Kenny at the time thought that eventually this piece 35 years later or something would be shown in a museum in Portland alongside his friend's work, who he's very much present in a lot of the photographs. I think that a continued activation, to use that word, that kind of overused word, I think is really important to making those pieces really come to life.
But that's the museum's job.
Yes. Right? So I'm curious how we might be able to figure out ways to do that.
Yeah. Is there anything else in Paige Powell's archive that could have been shown or you and her wish would be shown soon?
I think the hope is that, in the future, it won't be the last exhibition, that it could be shown in the future, and that would provide an opportunity to use other material. And I think it could potentially be a place-based exhibition, depending on where it is. Mm-hmm. Some material in her archive might be more interesting, depending on where the exhibition lands.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're digitizing everything and, you know, meta-tagging it, wouldn't that suggest just a big slideshow online? Is that possible?
I mean, it could be, but I think if there was a slideshow online, you would lose a little something.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like...
But what if you live in, like, Iowa and you've got no chance of going to New York?
Yeah, I have family in Iowa, so I've been sharing it with them through social media, through Instagram. And I think that it's sort of the slideshow idea that you're talking about, but it still has the social component. Images of Cosmic Cavern on Instagram aren't devoid of people. They're mm-hmm. filled with people. Mm-hmm. And I think that if the work is put out in a digitized form, that it's most successful if it's attached to an interview with Paige talking about the work and bringing life to the individual images, or through social media of individuals bringing their own lives to the work.
Yeah, I think that that's a key point to, because so much digital content we can experience solo, and that mm-hmm. would lose some of that just the aliveness of the archive.
Where does Instagram fit into all this? We have people now who have 40 million followers. Caitlyn Jenner has 40 million followers.
It's hard to
That's not to say they're going to stick with her forever, but are we entering a different age of the photograph?
Yeah, we certainly are. And I think that that's something that's really important about these kinds of exhibitions, is that you see the photograph as an object and can value it still in that way, and it's not pixels and backlit from our screens. But yeah, it's something definitely that we need to contend with in terms of, you know, how artists are thinking about their work too, and how it's presented in a digital format, let alone how photographers are utilizing Instagram as a different kind of format for disseminating their mm-hmm. work.
They love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A few people have been making parallels to people like Paige Powell and others who were these photo documentarians in a way mm-hmm. of the Warhol years, and even Warhol using Polaroids to instantly capture all of the people in his circle, and comparing that to social media today. And I'm just not sure how that comparison will really hold up, because there weren't 40 million people following Andy Warhol mm-hmm. at that time, and it was meant for a particular context and a particular use. And we're seeing it very differently today. We use